Hello, my lovely hummingbirds, and welcome or welcome back to another episode of Makeup and Motivation here on Pop Culture. How's it going, everyone? This is the series on this channel where we get into everything involving news, media, celebs, music, and everything in between in the world of news, movies, media, music, entertainment, and all that. It is so early in the morning and I am like not all there yet. But what was I gonna say? Happy Black History Month. Happy Month of Love. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs on winning the Super Bowl and being a, you know, guest on Usher's concert. Yeah, for today's episode, we're going to get into everything from what happened at the game. No, I'm actually not going to do a play-by-play. That was a lie. But we are going to talk about, like, the score and the halftime show trailers that were released during it. We're also going to do updates on the war on Gaza, including the most recent attack on the city of Rafah, which is in the southern part of Gaza on the border with Egypt, where there is, I think, approximately 1.9 million people in refuge there, as well as the state of the country currently and things that are going on in the celeb world. But before we begin all of that, I would appreciate it if you would all join me in a moment of silence for the following individuals: Hind Kajab, Yusuf Anzino, Ahmed Al-Madhu, Dexter Scott King, Carl Weathers, Chida Rivera, Rukaya Ahmed Ode Jahalin, Laura Lynch, and all of the lives lost as a result of the Israeli attacks on Gaza. Please join me now for a moment of silence. Thank you all for joining me in that moment of silence. I greatly appreciate it. I just realized I didn't mention the makeup look and what the hell we're doing. So for today's makeup look, it is Barney Stinson inspired. And no, I'm not dyeing my hair blonde. This is not a hair change video. I only say that because I had the craziest dream. I was blonde again. It was beautiful, but not the point. I'm distracted. So, How I Met Your Mother is a show from like the early 2000s, really, where it's a bunch of friends living in New York. They do a lot of tongue-in-cheek, two friends in there as well. Their go-to bar is the same bar that was in Cheers. A lot of pop culture and media references throughout the series, but as today's episode states, how to live a legend, wait for it, dairy life. I know it changes the name. And I get into it in the topic of conversation. But for the makeup look, we're not gonna look like Brandon. I'm not doing a transformation. I do not have all the proper materials to do that at this time. But we are going to do a makeup look based off of Barney's color palette, which is very in the neutral tones, and do also a little bit of mimics that resemble the makeup done to the actresses on the show. But yeah, that's it for me for this introduction. I hope you enjoy the makeup look, and without further ado, hi my lovely hummingbirds, how's it going? I hope you're enjoying today's episode of Pop Culture thus far. But for today's little short intermission here, I have a Calendly. And for those of you that are new, welcome to the glittering. For those of you that aren't, hi my lovely hummingbirds. I do personalized tarot and oracle readings. And if you want to book your very own personalized reading for 30 minutes that is directly sent to you to your email with whatever questions you have brewing within your soul to know more about,
definitely go ahead and book me. But if you want a more in-person, hands-on type of reading, we are now doing 1-hour readings all in person. So if you find yourself in the city of Chicago, go to my Calendly at calendly.com/LVPBLLC and book your very own personalized reading with yours truly. All right, my lovely Homebrewers, that's it. That's it for my intermission. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Love you. Bye.
Hi, my lovely Homebrewers. I don't know. I don't know what that was. What do we think about the makeup look? Do we love it? Is it giving suit up? Is it giving How I Met Your Mother? Is it giving Time May Heal All Wounds But Not That Bitch's Window? I think so. So, for today's makeup look, it is How I Met Your Mother, specifically Barney Stinson's color palette inspired. The show, as far as makeup goes, focuses more on natural looking tones. I did do what is seen on pretty much every female character except that one time with Robin on the news. That one was bad, but just more concentration on the blush and on the highlight. And, of course, the glossy lips. And I had to do the iconic little yellow on the eyes. But the reason for the makeup look and the portrayal of, the usage of Barney Stinson as the inspiration for today's color palette for the eyes and just the makeup look as a whole, I'm going to cover more once we get into today's topic of conversation, which is how to make a legend, wait for it, dairy life. Is the makeup giving legend, wait for it, dairy? Yeah. But before we get into all of that, we're going to cover everything that's been going on in the world since the last time I saw y'all, since kind of the beginning of the year, really. We got a lot to cover for the most part. I'm going to just touch on a little bit of everything to the best of my abilities. And yeah, first off, we're going to start with the current updates as far as the war on Gaza. Not even with the Palestinian people, it's against the Palestinian people, the way everything has been occurring. Since the last time on here from the Webs We Weave episode, so much more has unfolded. Since even when I had initially recorded that episode, so much has unfolded. There was the blowing up of Al-Izra, which was a university, it was the last university in Palestine, and it's really heartbreaking. When I saw it, I was like, no, you've got to be kidding me, right? And the more time that has passed, right, granted, I am on the other side of the fucking world, right? And while I am not there firsthand, seeing everything unfold still, it hurts, and it just, it baffles me how we still have so many people that are saying that it's not real, that the IDF, the Israeli government, and Benjamin Netanyahu are, looking for the hostages and trying to defeat Hamas and all these things, and it just, so essentially what happened in Al-Isra, which NPR reported, was that the university was, it was attacked. I can't remember if it was an airstrike or it was blown up, but basically it's gone. It's obliterated, and the IDF was using it as a base for 70 days prior to the explosion that obliterated the university. This university, not only was it the last in Gaza, right, but it was also one that held archaeological finds from 3,000 years ago, rare finds, things that had to do with the Palestinian people. According to NPR sources, the idea fluted everything. And it pisses me off on so many levels. As a person that wanted to be an archaeologist when I was younger, I know how messy archaeology in itself was and probably still is. I don't know. I'm not in the profession currently, right? But there was so much that unfortunately was looted across the years, across various cultures, and exploited and damaged and lost in time, essentially, to never be seen again. And one of the things that really has been just irking me, right, is the mindset that, like, this is being done for the good of something greater, and it just, I look at all those videos of the men and the women and the children hurting and dying and suffering and being martyred for greed, for a desire of land, for claims of a birthright, and it sickens me. And I've seen so many videos of so many Jewish people that have spoken out and saying, you know, Zionism has divided Judaism, and they have very specific beliefs. And I don't know what's going to come of it. If you guys know who Motaz Azeza is, he is a now 25-year-old journalist from Gaza, and he, you know, gained a massive following because he was there and recording everything as it unfolded. And sadly, he did obviously had to leave for his own safety and protection, as journalists and even those that work in humanitarian aid have been targeted, although the IDF and, like, the Israeli government has stated conflicting things since almost the beginning. One of those being, like, they didn't want UNRWA to shut down, but because they said it would be a humanitarian catastrophe if it did. And the rhetoric on the internet is people are fed up, and not just stateside, but around the world. I mean, things have been going down everywhere, including in Italy. I think it was on Holocaust Remembrance Day, where a bunch of pro-Palestinian protesters were beat by the Italian police, and they stated that it was because protests had been banned on that day, as they might prove anti-Semitic. I saw a comment, and I'm not entirely sure, I haven't verified this, but when a commentator stated that it was made illegal for chants in Arabic to be said during the protests. The protesters did walk past the hospital area peacefully, but they were still attacked by police. On that end, things that have come out since, the IDF was, well, they admitted, and it's fucking just, they admit to so much that goes against international court laws, against UN laws, and people are going till they're blue in the face, and, like, nothing seems to be stopping it. And I feel like that's a lot of people's frustrations. And, well, a lot of people on the other end are saying, you know, if the hostages are just simply released, then it will stop. But it just, the math doesn't math. The math ain't math in my lovely homie. It's like, it just, it doesn't math to me of
if the goal, right, is to get the hostages, carpet bombing is not the way to do that. Ground, air and ground strikes is not the way to do that. I feel like there would be a much more tactical way for extraction, but I saw this thing where it was like Benjamin was giving an interview and they asked him about the 20,000 lives that have been lost and said that, you know, it was one in one for every like casualty. It was basically saying like it was all Hamas, right? And I don't, I feel like I'm talked out. I feel like I'm talking about this and giving updates because I'm seeing a dwindling in reporting of it. I'm seeing a dwindling in updates. I'm seeing essentially the world seemingly returning to normal. And I don't know if that's because stateside, there's so many distractions like the Grammys and the Super Bowl and all this other stuff that are going on at the same time. And it feels so weird to even go about my daily life and then to do anything and not talk about it, which is why I keep talking about it. But one of the can the reason I say conflicting stories is because there's been times where they say, you know, that they don't hate Palestinian people. This is just about getting their hostages and how their beliefs are not against the Palestinian people and they want to help the civilians too. But then it came out that the IDF admitted to a propaganda channel, and that's essentially what it is. It was propaganda. The channel itself was called 72 Virgins Uncensored, and it was a Telegram channel that dehumanized Palestinian people. And it just seeing the behaviors, I think the birthright trips have started up again as well. So like I don't know if you, my lovely hummingbirds, know what that is, but essentially it's the Israel providing trips for Jewish youth to come and visit. Essentially, it is what it sounds like, and it's like a retreat and all this stuff. And it just, the consensus online was like, so this is all nice and well and peaceful seeming, but like there's literal hell breaking loose next door. Like, how is that okay? The other reason for like conflicting rhetoric, it's like, you know, they said they don't want UNRWA to stop or close down, but like the bombing of hospitals is continuing and refugee camps is continuing, and civilians from Israel are going and causing blockades at the borders in order to prevent aid from even entering Gaza. And it seems so fucking surreal. It really does. And when countries speak out against it and are condemning it, the US government is being what it is. It's supporting it and not really listening to the people. Like, one of the things that bothers me, and I had a conversation with a friend a while ago now, but we were discussing how, and this was before the war. This was before October 7th, but we were discussing how some shit always happens around election season here in the US. Something tragic always seems to happen. And I was sitting here and I'm like, well, this takes the fucking cake. Okay, this the migrant crisis, which we are going to get, like, actually get into in depth on a separate episode. I'm going to give you just slight updates here and there about it today, but we're talking about how some shit always happens, and I sat there and, you know, we're having this conversation, and I look at him and I'm like, dude, you know, it irks me because I'm so sick and tired of it always having to be the lesser of two evils. And one of the things is, like, I've seen so many people saying, like, you know, at this point, we don't care that Trump is the alternative. And people are saying, like, we can vote Green Party. We can vote for a third. We can even do a write-in. But it would have to be, like, such a massive agreeance on who to vote in that it seems almost impossible, especially because a lot of people are like, yeah, no, bring Trump. He's going to solve all the issues. No, he's not. No, he's really not. And it's like, now, even Bernie Sanders and AOC are speaking out against what's going on more publicly. So I did see comments saying that, you know, AOC has always been for ceasefire and all this stuff, but I'm like, but if I'm not mistaken, she also voted to, like, basically condemn anyone that uses Zionist as a term to refer to Benjamin and his followers and the government and all that. Like, basically using it as a term, it would be considered anti-Semitic. So, you know, people are divided with the whole, like, well, now that, like, the vote is mattering for the DNC, now it's a thing, right? I don't think, and these are just my personal opinions, right? I don't think Biden is fit to run another 4 years. I don't think Trump is fit to run another 4 years. I am a firm believer that the whole government just needs to need to restart. But one of the things that irks, and I just went into a whole little tangent, but not really, but yeah, one of the things that irks me here, right? So I don't know what it's like in other countries. I haven't lived in other countries. I live here. Since I was a kid, it gets very drilled into our heads that we are in a free country, that we have freedom of speech and we have rights and all this stuff. And after you grow up and you live long enough and you experience a number of things, you realize that it's not so clear cut as it may seem on paper. And the part that's, like, heartbreaking to me is that, like, the U.S. was supposedly built to be a government by the people, for the people. And that's why we choose the constituents that we do, and that's why, like, our vote is supposed to count and matter and all these things. And while, don't get me wrong, here in Chicago, they've motioned for ceasefire, so, like, so happy. Especially because Chicago is, like, such a big-ass fucking city. Like, that's incredible, right? And, like, from the bottom of my heart, everybody that protested, like, thank you. I might not be Palestinian, like, I am so happy that everyone that has supported in whatever ways that they can has been. Because I'm sure it's not, you know, it's not easy either. With the civilians causing the blockade in Gaza and the arrest of protesters in Tel Aviv asking for Benjamin Netanyahu to resign, and everything that's been going on social media as far as silencing creators such as Sean King, limiting posts of those that are vocal against the atrocities being caused to the Palestinian people, the honestly decimation of them. It just, it concerns me as far as censorship goes, right? Because, and I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself here, but, and I say I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself because, I was supposed to mention this before all of this, but two hostages that were taken were rescued by the military attack on Rafah, which is on the border with Egypt. And it, you know, they saved two people and 100 were killed in the process, is what I saw. And it just, I mean, from everything that I've seen thus far, I just feel like the rhetoric is going to be like, yes, but all 100 of those were Hamas, but the reports are coming in, like, after the attack, it was children being lugged away to the hospitals, and, you know, even the missing bodies of children, like Rukaya, who I mentioned in the moment of silence, and it seems almost scary, right? Not almost scary. It's honestly, it's quite fucking terrifying. I don't know why I said it like that. Not almost scary. It's terrifying. We live here, stateside, in the land of the supposedly free. And the past few years have very, very shrewdly shown us all, okay, just how deep of a lie that really is. And one of the things that, like, bothered me, right? Not bothered me. No, it bothered me. I'm saying bothered, but I was just like, you've got to be fucking kidding me when I saw it. But Mike Johnson, who is a representative of, I can't fucking remember what the fuck he is. This is him. This is what he does. But he put on X, formerly known as Twitter, he said the following. Any government worker who walks off the job to protest the U.S. support of our ally Israel is ignoring their responsibility and abusing the trust of taxpayers. They deserve to be fired. Here's the thing with that. Making such a statement, first off, reminds me, it takes me back a bit to the protests that were happening in 2020 for George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and all the lives that were lost then due to police brutality, of like where certain places were announcing, like, if you walk out, like, you're done. The thing with the statement of government employee is that it's not really, I feel like people don't really know the full extent of, like, just how deep that runs, right? Because a considered government employee, a considered, like, someone that's considered a federal employee, does not just mean the people in Congress. It does not just mean our politicians. It does not just mean our representatives. It means down to the people that are picking up trash on the street, that work for local city jobs, people that work in libraries, people that work for aldermen and mayors, people that work in banks, people that work in, like, state-run organizations. Like, it's such a broad statement. And while he might have meant it specifically for, like, those in political positions, it just, I fear, right, that if a law such as that were to be passed and no one reads the fine print, it would be like even those that are like custodians and doing custodial work and just, there's so much. There's so many fucking layers to that. And like, it just, I don't know. It brings a different level of sadness. Of like, just outrage, really. And I don't know if it's my fault because I was watching the fucking trial of the Chicago 7 the other day. I don't know if that just fed my anger. I say the other day, but I watched it during like me having COVID. I was dying, y'all. It was not fun. I was like, and then, you know, like fucking choking and shit, but I was watching the movie and, you know, looking up, I do a lot of research. I do a lot of research, looking up like the people that it was based on and all of that, and seeing how some of them had passed was actually very heartbreaking. But I sat here and I was looking at like just how the U.S. has always, right, played a very big role. And this is not new. Not new. They've played a very big role on, and not just the U.S. I mean, I'm not just solely blaming our government, but, you know, UK has also almost always had a hand in everything as well. And the U.S. essentially was people that ran away from the U.K., so really, are they any different? But I sat here and I was just like, it's tragic how inhumane some of these comments seem online, how for the continuation of the slaughter that is occurring, you know, like how for it people are, how blinded people are for like the Biden administration and wanting him for another term. It just, I'm like, I'm sitting there watching everything and I'm just like, y'all, the internet is free. You know, like, I don't know. So, stateside, that's been going on. The U.S. bombed Iraq and Yemen, as you guys know, or if you don't know, and you're like, this is the first time I've tuned into pop culture, like, what? I thought you were sparkly and fun. I am, but like I said, it feels, to me, personally, it just, if I didn't talk about it, I would not sleep okay at night. I just wouldn't, because I think that it's not getting shown to the capacity that it should for all those that aren't readily on social media. While the boycotts and the protests are working, it really feels like something bigger has to happen. Something on a larger scale. And I feel like that's why so many people are like, not pressuring artists and celebrities, but wanting them to like speak up and use their platforms and say something. I think we're seeing the reality of a lot of the influences that run the people that we listen to and watch, and for some of us admire, and all this shit. Now, like I said, the U.S. has hands in so much. Currently, just some immigrant crisis updates. So, NYC is going to offer prepaid cards for food and baby supplies. Cali is going to provide health insurance for all immigrants. And I don't know if that means all immigrants entering now or all immigrants as a whole. And I do want to cover everything that's going on with the migrant crisis, because there's a whole lot there, but we'll get into that in a separate episode. But as far as for the numbers in California, it is said to cost an estimate of 2.6 to 3.1 billion per year. Texas put up barbed wire on the border, like the state. And the U.S. government was like, don't take that shit down. It got taken down. There's a whole lot of deeper issues going on because of it all. And I will update y'all in a couple weeks, if I'm not mistaken. I'll look at my schedule of what I got planned. But I just want to say, my lovely hummingbirds, as far as the conflict, not conflict, as far as what is happening in Gaza, as far as the hurting of a people, like, I've been following Motassa Zeza for a bit now, and seeing this young man hurt as he does, right? Because, like, not only does he have the hurt of, like, I lived this pain and the suffering and this loss of friends and family, but this hurt of, like, for his people, a hurting of, like, he's out of those dangers, but also escaping a situation like that is not something you necessarily escape. The inability to actually go anywhere because of not being able to have a passport. Like, there's so much to it, and I don't get how people can see all of that, right? See the hurt, see the suffering, see the pain, see the babies crying and being taken, and not feel shit. I don't know. But all that said, keep your head up, my lovely hummingbirds. If anyone somehow that is Palestinian or in Gaza is listening to Bop Culture, my heart goes out to you, to your family, to your loved ones, to those that you may have lost. The world is watching. People are protesting. And while it may feel so alone, my words may mean not a damn fucking thing, I want you to know that you're not. But yeah, so it has been, like, we're literally so close to making it to 5 months of this happening. And it's like, and I get it, like, you guys can, whoever's listening, and if you're like, Monroe, wars have lasted longer. Yes, they have. But I don't know, I guess it just, I saw this thing early on, at the start of everything, where someone was like, you know, when we were young, we would sit there in school and learn about the Holocaust and say, how could people just watch and let this happen? And they essentially said, in 50 years from now, 20 years from now, however much, people are gonna look in the history books and ask the same fucking thing. If you can do something, my lovely hummingbirds, if you can say something, if you can help in some way, I hope that you do. If for whatever reasons you can't, I hope you still keep yourself aware, you keep yourself informed. But yeah. In other news, congratulations to Devin Hester for being inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. Very well deserved. Now, in some other Chicago news, besides Chicago motioning for a ceasefire, the Field Museum has done a thing. They've done a thing. They have gone ahead and covered up all of the displays that present Native American artifacts and cultural objects in the museum based on a new regulation that stipulates that not just the museum, but various organizations need to ask for permission from the tribes themselves in order to, it's part of a repatriation project. I think that's what it was called. Chicago is not the only, the Field Museum is not the only museum that has done this here in Chicago. I think it was I'm not sure which one it was, but I think it was one in New York as well that did that. Which, yay, as it should be. I also want to cover a little more in depth about that in a separate episode because I'm gonna get into like some archaeology talk and all that. In other Chicago news, May 17th, Chicano Batman is coming to the Salt Shed. March 6th is the Barrel Night on behalf of the Chicago Magazine in the Ravenswood Event Center. It is 40 for early bird tickets, 50 for general admission. It's gonna go from 6:30 to 9. Be in attendance if you guys like whiskey. Yeah, that's all I had for Chicago news for today's episode, at least. In other celebrity news, so I don't know if you guys saw the Kanye thing where Ozzy called him out. So Kanye West had asked for permission to use a sample of a live version of War Pigs. Ozzy said no. Kanye went ahead and used the sample anyway at his listening party. How Ozzy knows this, I have no idea. Somebody probably recorded it. No, oh wait. I think it was on live. I can't remember where I read that. I think it was on live and it like cut out when it started playing. And Ozzy called him out, and then I can't remember if Kanye himself posted it or somebody else did, but they were like how Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne dressed up as Kanye and Bianca Censori for Halloween. So I'm like sitting here, I'm like, so was it like a joke? Like, were they making fun of him? Was it an homage to him? So many questions there. But yeah, I don't know. I think, like, he did say he doesn't support him because of Kanye's anti-Semitic sentiments and the fact that he, like, identifies. I think he said he identifies like a Nazi, and I don't support that. Yeah, I don't know. That was just out of fucking nowhere for 2024. This year has been insane. another thing that's been insane, the girlies are fighting, and I am Confucius. I thought we were all getting along. The Barbie movie. What happened?
It was not just for a season, y'all.
Like, what the fuck? So, Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj were at it, sort of. Not really. So, in Red Ruby the Sleaze from The Pink Print 2, Nicki has a line where she says, "I haven't fucked with horses since Christopher Reeves." And people are saying that was tongue-in-cheek of, like, she doesn't fuck with Megan Thee Stallion. And I don't know how I don't know how else this happened. I just woke up one day and it was everywhere. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? I'm so confused. Although there were claims that, like, they had already had a falling out, especially since Megan had collaborated with Cardi. I don't know. But Megan Thee Stallion came out with Hiss, and it's so good. It's so good. And then Nicki came out with Bigfoot randomly. Like, she just dropped it, and I don't know how I felt about it. I have been a Nicki fan, like, of her music since she started, and I don't know how we got here. But some Barbs were in some legal trouble because they started doxing people, and this one person was like, nope, taking you to court, because don't fucking do that. Y'all, doxing is illegal. Don't do it. It's not okay. Yeah, very confused what the fuck happened. But, you know, Hiss was a bop. Hiss was a bop. I was like, damn. She went in. Also, congratulations to Megan Thee Stallion, because she is now, like, she has the fucking rights to her masters and the publishing of her songs after a deal that she made with Warner Music, which, fucking absolute congratulations, especially since fucking Universal Music Group is kind of slight tripping. Am I slightly biased because the sound was turned off on a few of my fucking TikToks? A little. I'm a little upset here. So, if you guys logged on to TikTok and there were a few, more than a few fucking things that you were like, what happened? My shit has no sound. So, yeah. TikTok and Universal Music Group could not come to an agreement, and honestly, it became a he said, she said battle of both sides basically saying the same fucking thing. So, basically, UMG is saying that TikTok wants to get them in on a bad deal that would shortchange artists and upcoming artists and use their power for evil. And TikTok was essentially saying the same shit of, like, they're creating a false rhetoric. We have, what is it called? The artist first agreements with a lot of other companies, and that UMG is doing their artists a really big disservice because TikTok is such a big platform with so many users. I think it said it was like a billion users or some shit. I was like, damn. And UMG basically was like, nah, like, it's you guys. And they're like, no, it's you guys. And I'm sitting here like, it's both of y'all. Like, what are y'all doing? Everyone that's on under Universal Music Group is a lot of the big name artists. I did see a few comments being like, now hold on, before we say this is a really bad thing, let's look at it in the light of, like, this is all the indie artists' time to shine, which would be super fucking cool. I mean, so many independent artists have already come up off of their music going viral on TikTok, which I think is super cool. I am also in agreeance, though, that, like, it seems a little odd that UMG would be like, no, we're taking our fucking artists off of here. because you know, you're like, it's a bad deal or whatever, we're not getting sufficient money for this or anything. Because I think one of the articles that I read, it said that the artist from UMG, it was like the bare minimum that they were getting from TikTok, which has been said by other creators, like after the like big boom happened where so many people went on it and started creating content, then TikTok had to like kind of adjust their paying system of like how creators were reimbursed. Like I said, TikTok hasn't also, they also haven't had the greatest reputation when it comes to creators, especially creators of color. But, that'll be on a separate episode. Yeah, so some of the artists that are part of UMG are the following. Congratulations to NWA for receiving the Grammy for Lifetime Achievement. And it was accepted by Ice Cube, MC Ren, DJ Yella, and Eazy-E's family. And Ice Cube was like, Dre wants y'all to know, like, he's not hating, he's just busy, which I thought was fucking hilarious. I was like, before the tabloids start saying they have beef. I'm like, I love it. That was so smart. Congrats to Jay-Z on his Dr. Dre Global Impact Award. That was really awesome. During the Grammys, he also stated how, you know, there's certain things that don't make sense as far as math, how Beyonce has so many Grammys, but, or like, she's won the most Grammys, but still hasn't won Album of the Year. And one of the things that he stated that I really liked during his speech, he said, hold on, I have it written down. I didn't write it all down, oh my god. So basically he said, keep showing up. So he made a reference to, I think it was when Will Smith had boycotted the Grammys. He's like, then they went to a hotel somewhere and watched them anyway. He's like, when he had seen that, I can't remember who he said, hadn't been nominated for a Grammy, he also boycotted the Grammys, but he still watched it on TV as well. And, like, people kind of laughed at it, and he's, like, you know, starts going through the speech, and he says, you know, the point is, after he mentions Beyonce, he doesn't directly say Beyonce, but we all know who's talking about Beyonce. But, you know, camera's panning at her and everything. But he said, he's like, you know, the point is that you keep showing up, you don't stop showing up until you get those accolades, until you get the awards that you deserve and all this stuff. And you know, the rhetoric online was like, it seems like there's a bigger issue here, because pretty much all of the artists that have not gotten or never got Grammys were, and I say were because some have already passed away, but are of color, are black. And, you know, the rhetoric online was like, there seems to be a deeper issue. And I sat there and I was like, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there is a deeper issue there. It's, we do live in the U.S. but another thing with it is like, impact of it is that the Grammys are not voted on by the people. So the deeper issue is not that, like, society as a whole is not voting for black artists or artists of color. It's that the Recording Academy isn't. Because the Grammys, and if you go on the Recording Academy website, like, it gives you a full breakdown, and we are going to get into all of that award shows and breakdowns for them and all that shit on a separate episode. I got so much shit planned for y'all. I have so much in 2024, my lovely hummingbirds. But I really loved what he said about, like, continuing to show up. And we're going to touch on that on today's episode, on today's topic of conversation. But before we get into that, congrats to Snoop Dogg for I think he's going to be part of the Paris Olympic Games, the panel for the U.S. as far as commentary, and I'm just like, Snoop Dogg really do be in everything. And the other thing, he signed a mariachi band to Death Row Records, which I was like, that is awesome. Also, why do I feel like he's going to be on at least one of those songs? But congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. I know my sister is jumping for joy right now. She is a Chiefs fan. She is down that way. And I know she is thrilled. The game score, the final score was 25-22 versus the 49ers. And it was a tight game, y'all. That shit was lit. Will there be people that say that it is rigged because Taylor Swift bet $1 million that the Chiefs would win? I mean, maybe. But also, you know, maybe she was just showing the support for her mans. Being like, I believe in you, baby, but also there's $1 million on this. Don't fucking lose the game. No, they did televise them. She, oh my god, this part was so funny. They show her at her concert where she's like, do you guys have time for one more song? And this fan was like, do you? And it was like the cutest thing ever because everyone's like, girl, you gotta go. You gotta make it to the game. I'm like, I love that. I love the support. But, you know, apparently she uses her debt for everything. I don't know. I don't know about that. I gotta look into that more. But she's suing this kid who is basically putting up all of her trips that she takes on her private jet just to show just how much emissions, like how big her carbon footprint is. And I think the suit, the reason for it is stating like they, not they're stating that the guy could just like show how much she uses it, but the whole suit is because it's a danger to her security, him placing the specific information, like, of where she's going all the time, which, I mean, I feel like that part's kind of valid, like, if he's always updating to where she's headed to, every time she's headed there, I don't know, I feel like that could get dangerous, and I feel like there's been so many celebrities that die in jets, it just, I don't know, that would, oh my god, I want to cry now, I don't like that, no me gusta, but obviously, it was so kind of the Kansas City Chiefs and the 49ers to guest star in Usher's concert. So, Usher was the live performer for this year's Super Bowl halftime show. And if anybody that is anybody that has seen the Super Bowl, they will tell you nobody watches it for the game. No, I'm kidding. But one of the highlights is the Super Bowl halftime show. And when I tell y'all that Usher fucking killed it. He killed that shit. He is a very well-rounded performer. He put on the show of a fucking lifetime. It was really good. It had dancing and singing and he stripped. He even did a striptease. I can't. He had roller skating and he had guitar solos and a piano accompaniment by Alicia Keys and he had a marching band and fucking, oh my god, Jermaine Dupri and her is the one that did the guitar solo and Will I Am came out and Lil Jon and Ludacris. It was so fucking good. If you guys have not seen it yet, you didn't watch it during the Super Bowl because you're like, I don't want to watch the game. I fell asleep because I was like, I don't want to watch the game. I just want to watch the halftime. And then you didn't get to see it. It is up on NFL's YouTube channel. So go check it out. I went and rewatched it. I was like, oh my god, so good. I like it didn't lose. It didn't lose its wow factor. I loved it. It was amazing. He really did such a good fucking job. I was like, wow. It's a whole show. Like, it's a whole, like, what I expect a Las Vegas residency show would be. He does have a residency right now. It just, it was so good. It was so good. Was I dancing the whole time? Yes, I was. Anyway. So the track list for The Halftime Show, What Is My Way, Caught Up, You Don't Have to Call, Superstar, Love in This Club, If I Ain't Got You, My Boo, Confessions Part 2, Nice and Slow, Burn, You Got It Bad, Bad Girl, Oh My God, sorry, Turn Down for What, and yeah, was the closer, and it was so good. It was so good. I love it. Besides the NFL Halftime Show, which this year was not sponsored by Pepsi, it was sponsored by Apple Music. the trailers. So, Super Bowl is also known, like, it's just a really big night for media. For media and the arts. Also really big is the commercials, because we get a lot of trailers and a lot of specials over the years. One of those trailers that dropped is Deadpool. Deadpool and Wolverine. And it is going to be released on July 26th. And I am honestly so excited, and I thought it was hilarious. Because Deadpool's like, Pegging might not be new to me, but it's new for Disney. And looks at the fucking camera breaking the fourth wall, as Deadpool does. I'm excited. It looks like it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a really good film. Other releases are The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt on May 3rd. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, May 10th. Kung Fu Panda 4, March 8th. If, which stands for Imaginary Friend, it is directed by John Krasinski and does star Ryan Reynolds on May 17th. A Quiet Place Day 1 is releasing in June. Moana 2 in November. Bob Marley One Love releases, I think I've already mentioned it on here before, but February 14th. Despicable Me 4 did not show a release date. Shogun is releasing the 27th. And that's going to be a series, as is Knuckles. That's going to be on Paramount Plus, and that's also going to be a limited series. It's going to be 6 episodes. Another film that's coming out is called Twisters, and it's seemingly a sequel to Twister, I think it was 90s, early 2000s movie. About, like, people that chase tornadoes. Glenn Powell is in it. And I mean this, no offense to the original cast of Twister whatsoever. This is not to be taken offensive. Glenn Powell just seems too pretty to be chasing tornadoes. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this one. I don't know how I feel about it being, like, obviously they didn't name it Twister 2, but it's clearly a sequel. And I don't know how I feel about it. And all the accents in it seem super exaggerated. And I just, I don't know. It kind of hurts a little bit. I might be biased in this. It was like one of my mom's and I's favorite movies to watch. Then my sister moved deeper into the Midwest. And I was like, y'all have real tornadoes. No me gustan. I go back to city life now. Goodbye. But, anyway. All my goofiness aside. Wait, no, not yet. I have two more random newses. That's not a word, but Disney bought Fortnite. Well, they haven't bought Fortnite, not yet. So they are planning to invest a whole lot of money into Epic Games, which are the creators of Fortnite. And it said somewhere that, like, they're going to include even Marvel and Star Wars characters into some of these games. I don't know. Let me know how you guys feel about that in the Q&A, because I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like Disney is just taking over everything. They bought out Hulu. That's another thing. So, I think it is next month that they're gonna officially launch just one app for both Hulu and Disney. So if you guys do have a subscription, just be aware, like, those changes are happening. In the other news, not this month, but end of last month, Elmo went viral on Twitter. Yes, Elmo from Sesame Street. We love Elmo in this house. He tweeted, you know, if everyone was doing good, here's the tweet. And people were going in on the comments, like, letting him know how not okay we collectively are. And honestly, I was like, damn. That just, like, it's heartbreaking on so many levels. But also, I feel like it shows the impact of just how well-known that show is and how it impacted a lot of, like, millennials and Gen X. But yeah, so besides that, now that we're done with my news, we are going into today's topic of conversation, which is how to build a legend, wait for it, dairy life. I know that's not the original name that I had planned for this. I changed it. One, I didn't want to say all that. Two, I tripped up every time I tried to say all of it, and I was like, you know what, we're just gonna make it a how-to and leave it at that. So, as I mentioned, for today's episode, the makeup look is very based on Barney Stinson's just overall color palette. We're gonna get into the who of it all and the why of it all and on the what. So, Barney Stinson is essentially a character portrayed by Neil Patrick Harris in the, what the fuck is it? Is it a comedy show? It's a series. I don't know. How I Met Your Mother. Which is the show that essentially follows Ted, the main, like, male lead. He's the main character. Giving a backstory to his kids of how he met their mom. Spoilers, if you haven't seen it yet, the mom is dead. And the ending pissed everybody off to this show. So, the ending pissed everybody off to this show. Basically, it's their life. It's their life as, like, people in New York figuring it out. They do a lot of, like, tongue-in-cheek references to Friends, to Cheers, to a bunch of other sitcoms. Sitcom, that was the word I was looking for. Bunch of other sitcoms and shows, especially ones that have, like, also taken place in New York, like the aforementioned Cheers and Friends. I love Cheers. I love that show with my whole heart. It was my 2 a.m. show. Like, wow, that was such a weird memory that just popped into my head. Me, sick as fuck because of endo shit, laid out on the couch watching Cheers. What? Random. That would also just little tangent there, explain why I was watching it during COVID. Oh my god. Anyway, apparently Cheers is my comfort show, so I'm just having all these realizations today, my lovely hummingbirds. Another thing, and if, like, you've been watching pop culture since the beginning, and I could just rewatch all my own shit, but I also feel like it would make currently just the mood that I'm in right now. I'll get over it. Probably by tomorrow. The mood I'm in right now, it would make me just go and rage delete everything. And I need to not do that. I need to not do that. But I was sitting here writing today's episode, specifically the definition of legendary, and I froze, and I was like, I've done this before. And I don't know if it was deja vu or what the fuck it was, but I was so adamant that I had done this episode before, or talked about this topic of conversation, or being legendary and what that means. And I'm like, when did we do this? And I'm, like, trying to go to every episode that I'm, like, I would probably mention it here, and I couldn't find it, and I don't know if it's in the audio-only ones. If you only see me on YouTube, yes, there are audio-only versions of pop culture that happened before I decided to go on YouTube and start doing my pretty makeup looks and all that. So if you don't follow me on Spotify, teehee, go ahead and check it out if you're so inclined. I'd be so grateful and appreciative. But all of that aside, all of my craziness aside, so Barney Stinson is a character on this show, and I have so many issues with How I Met Your Mother and how I think it should have been done. But, you know, and I feel like that's with any show, right? So, Barney's character is, he is a supporting character in the show. He is Ted Mosby's best friend, or I would say his second best friend, because Ted's first best friend is Marshall. I'm sorry, Barney. But, you know, the friend group consists of Marshall, Lily, Ted, and Barney, and then Robin comes into the picture, and it follows like their lives as they grow through their mid to late 20s into their 30s, and then, you know, so on and so forth, basically like young adult to full adult for lack of a better word. And Barney's character is very, well, first off, he's a little philandering thing. He is a playboy. He is also a nerd. He likes all the villains and everything. So he has like a stormtrooper suit, and he thinks that, what's his face? Russo from the Karate Kid. He thinks the Karate Kid is the bad guy and the Cobra Kai guy is the good guy. Why can't I think of any, like, my brain is so blanked out right now, but jeez, sorry about that. I was having a little moment. As far as Barney Stinson goes, he is a piece of work in the best ways. He early on is one of those like characters that you're like, you're kind of the comic relief of the sitcom to some capacity. Sorry for that. Something weird just happened. But he's kind of the comic relief to the sitcom, and he always tries to get his friends involved in some shenanigans of some sort. He has the playbook. He looks to, like, how many women he can lay. Like, he has really good character development moving forward throughout the story, and you realize that, like, he's the real sweetheart, and Ted's kind of the jerk, and the dynamic is very reminiscent of Ted is Ross and Barney is Joey, if we're comparing it to Friends. But one of the things that he always says, like, every night that he goes out, he wants to make it legend, wait for it, dairy, right? Legendary. And what I like about the character is that laissez-faire attitude. But yeah, no, he's always in a suit. He cares a great deal about his image. He has a pajama suit. He works a big corporate job. And underneath all the bravado and whiskey and strip clubs and all of it, he has a really big heart, falls in love with the main male lead's interest at a point. They separate. There's a whole lot that goes on in the show. But what does it mean to be legend, wait for it, dairy? Well, the actual definition of it is remarkable enough to be famous, remarkable enough to be famous, of, described in, or be based on legends. A legend is an unauthenticated, often fantastical story of a person, place, or thing. It can have notes of truth and fabrications in it. Why it matters in the journey of self-love, life, love, and healing, and all that good shit, is because what I like about Barney Stinson as a character It's not the playboy attitude. It's not the fact that he stays in the suit. It's not all that. It really is his mindset of trying to make every night legend, wait for it, dairy. Because I think it shows a very, as far as just life, right? It adds this magic of self-magic, of whimsy, of really reframing your mindset when it comes to daily life, right? And there's a point in one of the episodes where Ted tells him, he's like, you know, if you're trying to make every single night legendary, then doesn't it stop being legendary? And he's like, no. And he says something, because I'm awesome or some shit. I don't remember verbatim, but when we start the self-healing journey, when we start to really dive into the art of taking care of ourselves and breaking down things that we have learned that might not be good for us, mindsets, it gets to a point where the routine becomes difficult, right? So, like I said, I was sitting here shuffling this in my hand because my anxiety. And I don't remember if I clipped it or not, but there's a point where, and this is me speaking to future me. I don't know if we clipped it or not, but there's a point where I was like, you know, I'm in a fucking mood to, no, I did clip it, but I've tried recording this a few times. Okay. Let's leave it at that, my lovely hummingbirds. I've tried recording this a few times. And I was like, I'm in such a fucking mood today. I am in such a mood. And I have so much, like, just, right now. But, and going back to what Jay-Z had said in his speech, the point is that you keep showing up. One of the things about Barney Stinson's character is, like, even when he's going through some shit, he has moments where, like, you do see that vulnerable side of him, and he is kind of very enveloped in the shit that's going on. But for the most part, he always tries to reframe things to, like, remember it. Like, he is very cocky, though. I will say that. But the reason I love the, I guess, the ideology behind the character is that it is that reframing of mind that, like, even when shit is not going exactly how you plan it, even if things are not seeming awesome all the fucking time, you have to kind of just, like, flip a switch almost and be like, you know what, I enjoy the process because of this type of thing. And I really do love what that character represents, which, at least to me, right, because art is subjective to some degree. I think when it comes, where did I see this? It was some film. It had to be either a movie or a show, but I was binging something. And they stated, like, a film or a work of art, it's not really yours. It's yours when you dream it up, when you think about it, when you create it, and then when you put it in a can. It had to be a movie, because it said can, and films are, like, it's a piece of film in a can. But what are words I cannot articulate today, my lovely hummingbirds? I'm so sorry. But he's like, you know, it's not really yours, and until it gets taken out and played and life is breathed into it again by someone else and those that view it and take in your art. And but at that point, it's like, it is for them whatever they take of it. And from this character, I love the reframing of his mindset. Like, even though it can come off as very ostentatious, and it can be a lot, he has this way of, like, everything, just because he's awesome, everything is then in turn awesome, all that he does, right? Even if he has a pattern to a degree that he follows himself. He plays laser tag, goes to the strip club, meets his friends at the bar, and when he's always trying to get them to do all this, like, legendary shit, to some of the other characters, they're just like, it's not legendary, it's just you doing a bunch of random stuff. In the journey of life, love, and self-love and healing and all that, one of the difficult periods, like I said, is monotony and the process and sticking to doing things even when they are boring. And like I said, this is a how-to. How can we employ the Barney Stinson mindset in order to live a more legend, wait for it, dairy life? Suit up. Wear a suit. No. The suit effect is real. No, but I mean, if you want to. As far as that, put your best foot forward. If you look good, my lovely hummingbirds, you feel good. Point blank, period. At least I know I do. And again, if you are new here, hi, all of this is based entirely on my opinion and own experiences. And if it helps in any way, I hope it can. So suit up, definitely. You know, put your best foot forward, look your best in all that you do, whether that is going out, whether that is just staying in, and you're like, I don't want to get dressed up. Well, are you still, you know, doing your routine? Are you still taking care of your face and your skin and hydrating and at least brushing out your hair? Taking care of, like, that your home isn't scattered. Things like that. Another thing would be to enjoy the little things, like playing laser tag, going out and... I think him and Ted were mariachis at a point. Going out and trying something new. Obviously, I'm not saying go and join a mariachi band. If you want to, cool. Not saying go do that right away. But I'm saying find something that you've never done, that you've wanted to try before. Or even something that you're like, huh, that seems interesting. I've never wanted to try that before, but why not? Showing up and doing the work anyway. While, yes, breaks are very important and necessary, there are times when the breaks become an excuse or become procrastination out of some form of internalized fear or self-sabotaging tendencies. Or at least that's what it's been in my case, in my experience. While there are very real external circumstances that can impact us, like my original title... For this episode, it was it probably didn't even say that. I don't remember the full title, but I said legend, wait, but no, because I'm lactose. No. See, I'm already tripping up. I don't remember the full name. It was legend, wait for it, but I'm lactose intolerant, so no, but dairy. And the reason I was originally going to put that I am lactose intolerant. Can't have milk. I still can have cheese though, so I'm not fully lactose. I don't know, my body's weird. And things like that, like for a while when it first started, I was like, oh my god, I can never have milk and ice cream again. But then, you know, like I found alternatives. So one of those would be like, if you find an obstacle or hindrance in your life, find an alternate solution. One of the things that can really get us bogged down in the journey of life as a whole, whether you are looking to do something greater than life itself, something that nobody's done before in life, or you just are looking to improve yourself at any capacity, whatever that looks like for you, my lovely hummingbirds. Again, success is subjective as well, okay? It is based on the scope of what you define it as, not as what others define it as. And how can you rework what is there, if that makes sense? For example, me, when my internet connection here was not good, it's so much better now and I'm so happy, but when it was not good, I was like, dang, really not feeling it, really upset, really not well. Like, I was not well. I was, I didn't handle it swimmingly at first, I'm not gonna lie to you. And then I sat there and I was like, okay, I could either sit here and bitch about this and keep bitching about it, or I could find some other way of making it work. So I'd go out, go sit at a coffee shop, do what I had to do, go to Alarmist Brewing and Tap Room and sit there and do a bunch of typing and shit that I had to do. And if I didn't do that, then I'd be sitting here and work on back-end things that I had to do for pop culture and for myself. And in the process of it, I was like, okay, so I'm not stuck doing nothing all the time. And then I had to, you know, dig a little deeper and be like, why do I have such an issue with just chilling out, right? And shadow work never stops. No, but it really, the challenges and hurdles that appear are not to be a full stop all the time. Sometimes, and they really are like the universe being like, okay, you say you want it, but how badly do you want it? While the universe does conspire in our favor at all times, I think challenges exist as a form of like, okay, one, did you learn your lesson? But two, did you learn your lesson of like how badly you want this and how badly you are supposed to be doing this? And showing our effort, because while the universe conspires in our favor, it also involves our co-creation with the universe and doing our part in it all. Another aspect of it, how to live a legendary life. Remind yourself that you are awesome. I'm not going to press my button because it's nighttime when I'm recording, but hype and cheers yourself up, my lovely hummingbirds. Give yourself a self five. Like Barney does in the show often. And really tell yourself, like, you know what? I am awesome. I am the shit. I am deserving of amazing things. Let's go try this out. Let's go do this. Let's test this random fucking theory I have about this thing. All these little details that can seem so small could really be the puzzle pieces that set up the entire picture together for you, my lovely hummingbirds, at the end of the day. And another thing, reinvent yourself as many times as it takes. Barney has this thing where, and I'm not saying I do this, I'm not saying I condone this behavior, but he has this thing with like every different girl. There, I can't remember what episode it was in. He was basically lying and bullshitting them to get laid. But on the turn of that, it was like an art of reinventing himself and changing himself. You are allowed, my lovely hummingbirds, to be different, to change, whether it is your clothes, your hair, your music taste, your food taste, your whatever it is, your aesthetic. What you do content-wise, how you format things, how you want to live life moving forward, whatever it is, you are allowed to readjust your life to how it fits for you moving forward. And to go along with one of Barney Stinson's quotes, and I wrote it down, when I get sad, I stop being sad and be awesome instead. I think Ted asks him, like, are you never sad? And he's like, no, when I get sad, I just stop being sad and I be awesome instead. True story. But with that, I don't know where the fuck I saw it. I think they were like, Beyonce like schedules X amount of time for crying and then gets back up and like gets back on her shit type of thing. Oftentimes, our biggest deterrence is ourselves. I kind of sat here conveying with the universe earlier about some shit, And, you know, I was in a whole mood. And I was like, God, I'm gonna get up and do what the fuck I gotta do anyway, but I need my pity party to last like 5 more minutes. And then I was like, I probably haven't eaten anything. And I looked at my watch, I'm like, no, it's been 5 hours, I should eat something. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll get up and do what I gotta do. Sometimes you also just need to let yourself feel those feelings. And once you feel them, release it and keep going. Give yourself the space to evolve, to learn, to grow, to experience life. If you want to make a truly legend, wait for it, dairy life, the wait for it in that is time. Not everything is going to happen overnight. Not everything is going to be a moment of serendipity. Sometimes we have to truly create our own serendipity. That's it from me for you for today, my lovely hummingbirds. I love you all so much. Have a good one. It is Black History Month. It is the month of love. Go out and have fun with friends or however you want to spend it. Stay in. Whatever works for you, my lovely hummingbirds. I love you. Have a beautiful time. That's it for me, for you, for today. As always, les mando mucha paz, muchos besos. I wasn't flicking you off, I was going like this, but you could only see one of my fingers, I'm sorry. Y les recuerdo que miren hacia la luna, sending you much peace, many kisses, and reminding you to always look up at the moon. I love y'all again so much. Take care of yourselves, my lovely hummingbirds. I will catch you on the next one. And yeah, go out and be your best legend. Wait for it. Dairy self. That's it for me. Okay, bye.